What's up, everybody? Welcome to Bomb City Locker Room Talk Podcast. You're listening to episode 162. As always, I'm Jim.
I'm Adrian.
And we're back. We're back.
We're actually recording more than once in a month.
That's right.
Crazy.
You've been off for a couple weeks, right?
I went back to work on the 15th, so I've been back to work for a little bit now, but... yeah, I was off for a couple of weeks after Thanksgiving.
Oh, it feels great to be off, to get a break, you know, especially during the holidays. I hope you had a good Christmas.
Yeah, it was decent.
Besides the car trouble.
Yeah, besides that.
It's going to get better, though.
Let's not talk about that.
Well, to be fair and to get even here with just the amount of despair and things not going our way, I had something stolen from me while we were on our little ski vacation.
Oh, yeah?
I didn't lock my truck. And my DSLR camera, expensive camera, was in my truck, and someone stole it.
Like a digital camera?
Yeah, my big digital camera, you know, the one that I got like, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, the Canon mirrorless camera. Someone stole it, and it had SD cards in it. It had all the little, you know, equipment that goes with it inside the bag. So I had to buy a new one, go in debt a little bit, but I need a camera. I need one for the family. I need one for, you know, the little one coming in about a month. So I bought a new camera. I'm just disappointed. Like, people are so shitty.
Yeah.
You know, and it was a, okay, the ski resort. You really can't even call it a resort. It's Cipapu, New Mexico. It's a small ski area. And they've got, you know, lodges to stay at, but there's not very many. So after 4 o'clock each day, after the slopes close, a lot of people leave. And not very many people stay. It's usually just families that stay, you know, overnight. There's not any towns that are real close. So you wouldn't expect or suspect that to happen there. It's not a place where there's a ton of people, but my truck was like parked right in front of the main lodge, and I accidentally left it unlocked. So
Cipapu, New Mexico's crime rate just went up by 1%.
And the crazy thing is it's not even a town. It's just a little bitty ski area, and it's shitty that people do those type of things and feel okay afterwards, you know? The guilt doesn't set in. They don't care.
Yeah.
I had, like, thousands of pictures on those SD cards, but...
So did you, like, do a police report or anything like that?
No.
You were just like,
I don't even
it.
Know who the anyone. Nearest police department
they
is.
They probably don't even have a
they
police
don't
station.
Have one. I went to the front desk and asked, you know, are there any cameras pointing in this direction towards the vehicles here? And she was like, no, the only one we have is pointed towards the front door. So, lesson learned, lock your damn car. Lock your vehicles, because even here in town, like, it's been an issue I've heard all over town. There's, it doesn't matter where yeah. you live, you know?
There's fucking thieves everywhere. It's sad. You know, especially, you know, when you work hard for shit, you know, but I'm a big believer in karma, so whoever it was that stole your camera is going to get what's coming to them eventually. And, you know, things like that are material things. Like, I mean, shit, you already done have it replaced. So,
yeah,
it's kind of one of those things that you kind of have to just, yeah, it's a shitty situation, but you just move on and move forward. And eventually those people that did that to you are going to get what's coming to them, because what goes around comes around, and... just got to move on with life. Yeah. Can't let it bother you, you know?
I'm just glad no jewelry, no wallet, no nothing like that was stolen. That would have been even worse. Camera's replaceable, but yeah. Right. I mean, my Christmas break's been okay. Other than that, and other than my Sooners losing in the first round, which we can touch on the first round of the college football playoff real quick. We were, most of our picks were correct. Ole Miss demolished Tulane. Mm-hmm. JMU did not have a chance against Oregon.
Would they score like 52 on them or something like that?
It was like, 50 something to 30 which I'm sure a lot of, I didn't even watch past the first quarter, but I'm sure a lot of those points came late in the game. I was shocked, though, that A&M did not beat Miami. And it was such a low-scoring game till the very end.
Mm-hmm.
That was surprising.
Well, and I watched that game, and there was a lot of missed field goals because of how windy it was. So, yeah, there was like six missed field goals in that game because of how windy it was. So
yeah, it was windy in Norman, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm sure, is it your dad that's a Miami fan?
My dad is actually a fan of Ohio State. He does like Miami, too, because he lived in Miami for 10 years. But it's my Uncle Jack. He grew up in Miami.
Okay,
and
yeah,
he's a huge Miami fan. So
I'm sure he was happy.
Yeah, and now they're going to be facing each other. So yeah, now my
okay,
dad
yeah,
and
yeah.
my uncle are going to be probably talking shit to each other.
Oh, I'm sure the group
this week.
The group and text is going to be hopping. And
yeah, and my uncle hates Ohio State, so we'll see what happens.
That's going to be – I'm going to take Ohio State in that one, but you never know. The second-round games, the quarterfinal games, are a lot more competitive than most of the time than these first-round games because you have those group of five teams that get in. But the OU and Alabama game, I thought definitely OU was going to somehow pull it out, being at home, first home playoff game, first playoff appearance with Brent Venables. I was a little disappointed, to say the least. I mean, Oklahoma had a 17-point lead, blew it.
Mm-hmm.
The lack of offense in the second half, the timely plays by Alabama really were a backbreaker. Alabama came to play. They wanted that revenge. They were told, you know, they didn't belong after getting blown out by Georgia. And
mm-hmm.
OU was told that, too, to a degree. But I'll take anything over a 6-7 season like we had last year.
Right.
vast improvement. I don't think anyone would have predicted. I didn't predict Oklahoma to go 10-2 at the end of the regular season. I predicted them to go 8-4, 9-3. So they surpassed my predictions. They had a great season.
Yeah, I mean, to go 10-2 and make the playoff and be in the SEC is got to be a win for y'all. I mean, so I mean, yeah, of course, you as a fan probably wanted them to go further.
I just wanted to win one.
You know, but
We're on the right track. We're trending upwards with the type of season we had. Offense was putrid all season long. John Matera gets the throwing hand surgery mid-season. Shouldn't have played in the Texas game.
Mm-hmm.
He was not the same after the surgery. But I'm happy with the improvement from 6-6 to 10-2. I'll take it. But offense has got to get better, got to have a running game. I think that's the biggest issue with Oklahoma is no running game. And if Matera has a running game, I think he'll be okay. He's kind of, who does he remind you of? Like a Tim Tebow-ish, Haynes King. Like he's a runner and thrower. He's not real polished with his mechanics. I think he's going to get a lot better though from first year in SEC to the second.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly who he reminds me of necessarily. I think I would need to watch him in more games because, I mean, the only game I really watched him in was Texas.
Yeah.
And I did watch some of the Alabama game. I actually stopped watching it after the first half. And I don't remember why I stopped watching it. It wasn't because I was like, oh, Oklahoma, they've got this. I think I just stopped watching it because I think there was something else on. Did they play last Saturday?
Joshua and Paul fight was on.
Okay, yes, and I watched that.
Uh-huh. I think that was the only other thing maybe that was on. It was last Friday, the 19th, Friday night.
So it was Friday night, okay.
Because
I know Green Bay played last Saturday as well, so I was like, well, didn't Green Bay play, and that's why I turned it off. But I don't remember what I turned it off for. I think it was to watch the fight.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was to watch the fight, yeah. So, and we can talk about that later, too.
Yes, we will. But, you know, going up 17-0, I was feeling good, but I knew there's going to be a collapse at some point because our offense, they started out great, but throughout the entire season, they their consistency was not there. They struggled to move the chains when it mattered the most. Couldn't run the ball very well. Only a few games he ran the ball decent. But I was disappointed that we wasted the 50 Cent moment. Did you see the highlights or anything on social media with 50 Cent?
I did not.
He came out. He was there.
Oh, was he there?
He was there. Because, you know, OU, the whole season, they after the Tennessee win, they kind of adopted the mantra of, you know, hard to kill, and they would play mini men going into the fourth quarter the rest of the season.
Oh, you did or Alabama? Oh, you
did.
Okay.
So 50 Cent, I thought, you know, oh, they'll probably do like a video on the big Jumbotron of 50 Cent, you know, getting the crowd hype or whatever. But next thing you know, you see the Jumbotron, and then you see them pan over to the tunnel, and he walks out of the tunnel.
I wonder how much they paid him to do that.
I don't know. But two plays later, we scored to make it 27-24, and I was like, all right, here we go.
This was probably 50 Cent's first time ever being in the state of Oklahoma.
Maybe, unless he went to a Thunder game. Who knows? But that was really cool. It's disappointing that we ruined that moment, but to be in the playoffs after going 6-6 last year and losing to Navy, I mean, I'll take it. It's kind of a bittersweet end of the season, but I mean, we've seen some terrible seasons. You as a Longhorn going 5-7, missing a bowl game, and then OU the past few years we have not been a consistent competitive team at times. So I'm excited what the future brings, but that the first round was overall those two games, A&M, Miami, OU, Alabama game were really good. Now we've got the Tech and Oregon game, which I think is going to be a great game.
That's going to be a great game, yeah.
And then we've got Alabama and Indiana. I think that's going to be a great game. I think Alabama will probably beat them, to be honest. And then we've got Ohio State, Miami.
Miami, yeah.
And then Ole Miss, Georgia. So
A lot of great games coming next week, yeah. during New Year's.
Yeah, your Longhorns are playing New Year's Eve against Michigan. I don't even know if Michigan's going to have a freaking team by the time that game rolls around.
Yeah, we're probably playing a bunch of second string players. And oh, who man. Knows?
Tons of opt outs on both sides with Texas and Michigan, but I expect Texas to beat Michigan by multiple scores. Based on what's going on. I mean, they just hired a new coach, Kyle Whittingham, today. So that's a huge hire for them. He's a great coach. He's done wonders at Utah. So we'll see if he can erase all the drama that's happened at Michigan. Yeah. Sherrone Moore and Jim Harbaugh. And I heard of one of their assistant coaches, like, got in trouble for hacking into student-athletes' phones and, like, stealing photos and stuff.
Yeah, it sounds like there's an accountability problem there with that program, and they really need somebody to go over there and just turn it completely around. You know, it's
the culture's bad,
turning into Penn State,
right? And Penn State just hired Matt Campbell. That's a great hire from Iowa State. There's been a lot of head coaching openings this offseason. We'll see who really pans out. But, yeah, we only got about a few weeks left of the college football season, and then we'll roll into 2026. But NFL on tonight, we've got Green Bay and the Ravens. What are your thoughts going into this game about your Packers?
Both teams are going to be playing backups. Jordan Love is still out with a concussion. He practiced this week, but I think because of the fact that the Lions lost, which meant we clinched a playoff spot, I think it is best to reserve Jordan as much as possible, especially considering that Malik Willis is so good. Like, people are even saying that he's better than Jordan.
You guys have had great luck, or just pure, it's just coaching. It's,
we know how to development. We know how to develop quarterbacks.
You guys have done a great job with that.
Because, I mean, nobody was looking Malik Willis's way when he was with Tennessee. And when he was with Tennessee, he was terrible. But he came to Green Bay. He's been sitting behind Jordan Love. He's been developing himself into the quarterback that people knew who thought he would be when he was drafted. And he's going to get paid a lot of money next year because he's a free agent next year.
You want to keep him.
And somebody's gonna get him.
But you think Green Bay has enough cap space to retain him as a backup? Or do you think they would even go that route to make a push?
I don't know.
You think they should?
With the money that they're paying to Jordan and the money that they're paying to Parsons, I don't see them having the cap space to pay him a high amount of money to retain him. So,
and Parsons, by the way, I hate to see him suffer an injury to that degree, but I don't know if he'll come back and be the same elite pass rusher. I know ACLs, the science and medicine behind it, and the surgeries are phenomenal these days. They're so advanced, but hopefully he does recover well and he's himself by week one next year. But yeah,
hopefully.
Just to throw that in there, I like the guy.
I don't think he'll be ready by week one, but
yeah, maybe after the first third of the season.
He might be ready by next November. Realistically, bro. I mean, so, it's the ACL. ACLs take at least a year.
Well,
you know.
The recovery is a lot more expedited these days, but they have those athletes and the doctors that are that have their hands on each of those NFL teams. They're phenomenal. That's top of the line treatment and medicine in the league and in the world. They get some of the most world class treatment available. So I could see him coming back a little bit sooner, but I don't know if he'll be the same. Hopefully he is, but.
We'll see.
But this game tonight.
Malik is a better quarterback than Huntley, who's going to be playing for Baltimore. So I think Malik Willis will get the job done. Josh Jacobs is healthy, and hopefully he gets the ball rolling because last week he didn't do too well against the Bears, but. I mean, it was a tough division game, so I see him doing better today. I think offensively we're going to be better tonight, and I think it should be an easy win for us. I mean, we're playing at home.
You guys are 9-5 right now, is that right?
9-5-1.
Yeah, so it's not a got to have it, but it'd be nice.
Well, we still have a chance to win the division, so because I do feel – that the Bears will lose tomorrow night. They've got to play the 49ers in San Francisco. So, well, it's not going to be in San Francisco, but it's going to be on the road. So I feel, and I think 49ers, they play really well at home, and I don't see Chicago beating them at home. Which means if we win tonight and they lose tomorrow night, we'll be back tied for tied for first place. And then it's going to come down to the final week, whether or not we, as far as who's going to win the division.
Yeah.
Which will play Minnesota, which they played spoiler. They very could well play spoiler again. And I can't remember who Chicago plays the last week. Closing out the season playing division foes, so. But the thing that sucks for us is we'll be on the road, I believe, against Minnesota. They'll be at home against Detroit. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But I mean, either way, I'm just happy we're in the playoffs.
No, I bet it feels great.
Green Bay, the last 30 years, they've only missed the playoffs like 5 times.
They've always been consistent. And, you know, coming out of the NFC, I could see the Seahawks or the Bears. They're at the top right now. I'm happy on the AFC side that the Chiefs are not going to be a factor in the playoffs.
Chiefs are not going to be in the playoffs.
So I hope the Philadelphia Eagles shit down their leg.
The Eagles are definitely not the best team in the NFC.
I mean, you got the 49ers. Not.
I think the NFC winner is definitely going to come out of the West. I think it's either going to be Seattle or possibly the Rams.
Yeah.
You got to throw in the 49ers in there, too. It's probably going to be one of those three teams. If Seattle wins home field advantage, I think they'll probably end up winning the NFC. But, again, we'll see what happens. I think on the AFC side, I think Denver will probably probably win. I could definitely see a Denver-Seattle Super Bowl. I think, personally, I think Denver's probably going to end up winning the whole thing. Their defense is just so good. They've got the number one defense. They've got a great wide receiver core. They've got one of the smartest, most intelligent coaches out there, Sean Payton. Bo Nix looks like he's been playing in the league for fucking years, even though it's only his second year.
And he's really shocked me.
He's playing lights out right now. The only thing that Denver lacks is a solid running game, but RJ Harvey is... If he can just do enough to, you know, get them a little bit closer to a first down, that's all he's got to do. He doesn't have to be a Jonathan Taylor or a freaking Saquon Barkley. He just needs to not fumble the fucking ball and do just enough. Get them 60 yards rushing and they're good. I mean, their receivers are just that fucking good.
Do you think the Patriots have a shot to win the AFC?
Yeah. I don't trust Drake May. I just don't either.
That's what I was gonna say.
Not to take them deep. You know, and that's why I'm liking Denver right now, is just because of how good the quarterback is.
Yeah. I mean, the Patriots, they're playing for the top of the AFC, AFC East, but I don't know. I wouldn't mind seeing Denver. I grew up a Cowboys fan, as we all know, but my second favorite team was Denver.
Fuck with
Elway.
I hated Denver.
With the back-to-back.
They made me cry.
Titles in the late 90s. And Terrell Owen. Terrell Davis. I mean, it was just... That team was incredible. Ed McCaffrey. Some of my favorite players were on that team growing up. So, I don't know. The Jaguars and the Chargers... They've got a shot. They've had pretty good seasons. I just want to see someone new win the Super Bowl. I want to see
yeah, for
a new
sure.
matchup.
New matchup, new
That's
winner,
good for the
new
league.
Champion. Yeah. And it would be great to see Sean Payton get that glory because, you know, after the whole Bounty Gate thing, and then he was gone from the league for a while. Everybody kind of wrote him out, off, and now he's back. And, you know, to see him bring Denver back to what they once were, you know, back in the day, I mean, it's a cool story. So even though, like I said, I hated Denver because, again, they made me cry back in 1998, Super Bowl 32. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget that game.
I was happy for Elway, though.
Nah, fuck Elway.
He was later in his career. He won back-to-back titles. It was really cool to see him win those two. But I want to see the Bills. I mean, the Bills have clinched a wild card spot.
I like Josh Allen.
I want to see them
win. And I want to see him win a championship one day.
Yes. For that city, that fan base, I will say that.
Yeah. Their defense, though, man, is just... It's just not there. I don't... Their defense just isn't strong enough to make a deep run.
Maybe they can get it together for the playoffs.
They're just one of those teams that, like, they're cursed. It's like, no matter what they do, no matter how far they get, like... Someone's going to spoil it for them.
Something always goes wrong.
Poor Buffalo.
Right. And with Baltimore, mathematically, they're still in it. They're 7-8. Maybe they could squeak in if things go their way. But they're going to need this one tonight. But we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Let's take it back in time. We'll stay on the topic of the NFL. Let's go back to the 2000s. I know you're probably biased. You're probably gonna lean more towards one player after I ask you this question. But he was going, you know, at the end of his career in the 2000s. But who was your favorite quarterback of the 2000s?
Jesus. So it'd be from 2000 to 2010.
Yep.
Well, shit, I mean, two of my favorite quarterbacks played in the 2000s, so it's like, how can I not be fucking biased?
Go ahead.
Brett Favre played from 2000 to 2007.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Rodgers started playing in 2008. And then he won a Super Bowl in the last year of the 2000s. Well, technically it was 2011, but it was for the 2010 season. Okay, I'll do an unbiased opinion and not say Aaron or Brett. I would say if I liked anybody besides those two, I guess I would maybe have to say Peyton Manning. He was just such an intelligent player. And a great player just to watch, just to see how genius he was. I mean, he was like a coach playing out there with the audibles and, you know.
Absolutely, yep.
He was just really fun to watch. Damn. I'm trying to think of some others, but.
I liked
Philip Rivers, too, just because he was a good shit talker.
Yeah.
Like, he was a funny shit talker. Like, he wasn't, you know, the type of shit talker to, like, cuss people out and stuff like that. It was just, like, more
of
a...
It was, like, arrogant, you know.
Yeah.
Quippy.
Yeah.
Off the cuff.
But getting to watch him and then LaDainian Tomlinson and Antonio Gates, getting to watch those Chargers back then, it was fun to watch them play, too. So, I'd probably put Philip Rivers up there.
There's a few that come to mind. I think of Big Ben, Roethlisberger. I think of Steve McNair, Drew Brees, and Peyton Manning.
Mm-hmm.
I even throw Kurt Warner in there. His story and the things he accomplished as a quarterback. But Peyton Manning's got to be, you know, at the top of the Mount Rushmore of the 2000s.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think if you were to do like a Mount Rushmore, I mean, you'd have to... Definitely put Peyton and Tom Brady up there.
Yeah.
Even though I can't stand Tom Brady, but it is what it
is. I know. I love Tom Brady. I didn't want to bring him up as part of this discussion, which, you know, unanimously, yes, he is objectively probably the best quarterback of the 2000s. But I just want to think of names that we haven't thought of in a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Donovan McNabb.
Well, and it's just, to me... Everyone thinks of Tom Brady because of all of his success in the Super Bowl and all of his rings. But when I think of athletes, I think of how they play on the field, you know, their athletic ability. And I just feel like Tom Brady wasn't that great athletically. Like, he was a stay-in-the-pocket type of a system quarterback. Like, he wasn't...
He was. He was a pocket passer.
He wasn't one of those guys that was going to move and throw or throw off of his back foot.
So you would gravitate more towards like a Michael Vick.
Yeah, he didn't do anything. He didn't do anything flashy. He was just a bland fucking
I respect
athlete.
Him. I respect everything that he did as a leader, his intangibles, his command of the offense. He brought out the best in his teammates. That's what I can admire and appreciate. He did a lot with the little. He made a few guys into superstars that were unconventionally not really well known or were thought of to be, you know, potential stars. Wes Welker, Edelman, Amendola. You know, they're just those type of guys that he had around him, like just serviceable dudes that he made really good because of how well he delivered the football. He had great mechanics. He made timely throws. He could throw into windows. You're right. He was not the best athlete, but from a leadership standpoint, I love the guy. But as far as like just quarterbacks pertaining to our conversation, I want to think of the guys that really don't get brought up a lot, like Dante Culpepper. You know,
fuck that guy.
That guy had a couple good seasons that, you know, as a teenager in early 20s, he was just a big dude. He kind of reminded me of Big Ben. You know, he was more athletic than Big Ben, but, you know,
I didn't like him just because he played for the Vikings. Right. So, I mean, it is what it is.
And you hated when Favre went to the Vikings.
Yes, that too.
And you know, you got to give respect to Tony Romo. He wasn't at the top tier of the 2000s quarterbacks, but he was a solid tier two guy. He did a lot of good things. He was very efficient, but in the biggest moments, kind of like Dak, the curse has continued, and he wasn't at his best when we needed him the most. So, Eli, you got to give him credit in the 2000s, right?
Yeah, he was all right. Eli was all right.
And there's a big argument, should he be in the Hall of Fame? I think he should, but his numbers aren't the best. He came through and delivered in big moments.
I mean, he won two Super Bowls. I mean,
exactly.
So
you can't knock him.
I mean, he's a better quarterback than a lot of some other quarterbacks that have a Super Bowl ring. Like I think he was better than Brad Johnson. He's better than
Chad Pennington.
Chad Pennington. yeah. What's the guy that played for Baltimore when they won in 2003?
Hasselbeck.
Trent Dilfer.
Dilfer.
Better than Dilfer. So, I mean,
yeah, Hasselbeck was with the Seahawks.
But
yeah.
Like those quarterbacks, he benefited mm-hmm. from having a really, really good defense. Because those teams that I mentioned, the 2003 Ravens, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers,
mm-hmm.
they won those Super Bowls in the 2000s. Based purely on defense. Yep. Like they really weren't great on the offensive side of the ball, but they didn't let other offenses score.
Right.
So
and the quarterbacks,
that's why they won.
They played within the system and they were game managers and they were efficient as they needed to be with a good running game. And there have been like quarterbacks like Joe Flacco. He emerged late in the 2000s, Matt Ryan, Rodgers, all those guys. Matt Ryan really choked, you know, in his Super Bowl, but
oh yeah,
but you know, there have been some not so shiny quarterbacks that have won it all based on good defense and being in a solid system, being a game manager. All right, let's transition to our local segment. We're going to try to do this periodically. We're just going to riff and talk about things that are happening in Amarillo, things we've seen online, things that have been, you know, filled with drama.
Let's call this segment Dramarillo.
Dramarillo. I like that. So you brought up something off air that you came across online, on social media, and I think we should talk about it a little bit. So there was an issue at a local bar, local establishment here in Amarillo with a dress code infraction, or the staff was displeased with the attire of someone who walked in and they kicked them out. And then that person went on to create a huge post online. Restaurant review page. that's where it ended up. So
it was shared on it, yes.
So this place is a fairly new bar, right? It's only been around for about a year, maybe a year and a half. But they have a dress code policy, and you just can't wear certain things when you come in, which is standard across the United States, right? Or any larger metropolitan cities, metroplex like Dallas or Houston. There are certain places that you go that are a little bit more upscale where you can't wear certain things, and there's certain strict policies that are put in place to keep certain people out or to just abide by, you know, a certain attire aesthetic that they want to go for. This place kicked out this gentleman who had on a biker jacket, or was it a vest?
Mm-hmm. It was a vest. Yeah. It was like Friday night, I guess, is when he posted it. And then somebody else shared it onto the restaurant reviews page. And basically what it is this guy was wearing a biker vest that on the back of it said Iraq war vet, and it had a picture of like a skull with like the American flag, and it said "Until Valhalla" on the bottom of it. And per the Blind Pig, which was the name of the establishment that this guy got kicked out of, which is an establishment on Route 66, 6th Street, that is very well known and has always been well known to be a spot for bikers. I mean,
well, nearby.
Most of the bars and establishments on Route 66, on 6th Street, cater to bikers. I mean, that's just always
especially,
how it happens.
Especially
happened.
Scooters, which
is
right
next door,
like,
right?
You know, walking distance from the Blind Pig, so.
Well, the Blind Pig, one of their dress code is to not wear cuts. And according, apparently that met their standard of what a cut is. They asked him to take it off. He didn't want to take it off, so he got kicked out. So he's making a big deal about it online, on Facebook, like most people do nowadays.
Which side do you side with here?
I mean, I have to... It's really, really tough to say, because it's... I have to stand on the side of the business. I mean, because they have a dress code, but also I see it from this guy's perspective as well, because what he had on is not really a cut. It wasn't gang affiliated.
Right.
You know, I could understand if it said Bandidos on the back of it.
Or Hell's Angels.
Yeah. I mean, the dude is clearly a veteran. You know, I'm 100% supportive of anybody that's ever served this country.
Right.
You know, because without them, you know, obviously we don't have our freedom. You know what I'm saying? So I'm very appreciative towards our military veterans. But I mean, this place has a dress code for a reason. But if I were the owner or manager of Blind Pig, I mean, me personally, I would have been like, you know what? You're right. That's not a real cut. It's not gang affiliated. You know what? I'll make an exception for you. Go ahead. Come in. Matter of fact, you served in Iraq. Shit, your fucking first beer is on me, buddy. You know what I mean? But I'm not the owner of the Blind Pig. So, you know, I support our military veterans and stuff like that. But I also support local businesses. And if local businesses have the right to refuse service to anybody that they want. I mean, he could have easily just, if he really wanted to have a beer there, he could have easily just taken off his vest, abided by their dress code, and sat there and enjoyed a beer, but he didn't want to do that. And I get it. I get both sides.
Absolutely. I get the business side, because you have a business to run. You want to uphold a certain image. And it is an area where there are more bikers.
Yeah.
However, if they don't want that image as a part of their image, I understand them being strict on the policy. And it is what it is. I mean, you have the right to run your business how you want to, and if that's how they want to dictate their dress code, that's how they have the right to do that. Now, I don't really have an issue with that. My issue is more with creating a huge post and throwing a business under the bus because you didn't get in.
Right.
And to me, that just brought a negative connotation to you inadvertently when you're trying to push it on the establishment. It's just not a good look. I mean, it's like a, hey, look at me. I got kicked out of this place because of my vest. I'm going to trash this local establishment, which is not cool. They have the right to do what they want.
Yeah.
You know, that's the issue I had with that. I don't have the issue with the business or what they decide to do, but, you know, creating a huge post and commotion over it, was it really worth it? I mean, this is America. If they don't want to serve you, they don't have to serve you.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to realize, when you're a biker, or you're not affiliated with the biker gang, or you have some type of paraphernalia on you, not everybody knows what that stuff means.
Right.
And so you've got to understand and have the wherewithal to know, if you go anywhere in town, there's going to probably be some places where you're not welcome because mm-hmm. people are just not educated enough on the insignia, on your vest, or, you know, what any of it represents or means. So that's a risk that you have to take if you're going to present yourself that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, it just was ridiculous to write a post trashing the business when they have the right to do what they need to do to uphold their standard. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, if we're running a business, are we going to let people come in with baggy-ass FUBU jerseys?
No, hell no. You got a do-rag on your head? Fuck you. Get out of my business.
Exactly. You know? Like, if you're wanting to be a more, like, fancy, upscale, like, inviting environment for an older crowd, for a more professional crowd, you're not going to want a certain type of people come in. I'm just sorry. You're not going to want to do it, and we wouldn't want to do it if we had that type of establishment. Now, if you're a dive bar, hole-in-the-wall bar, and you just love everyone, you know, that's your prerogative to construct the rules in your favor and what you believe. But, you know, I just sit there on, you know, he was probably pissed off sitting on his bike or in his truck writing this post just to trash a local business. It's just trying to make a living, you know.
And there's also, and again, I 100% respect anybody that's ever served in the military.
Absolutely, yes.
However, you do have some people who are veterans that think that the world owes them fucking everything.
Right.
And it doesn't work that way. You know what I mean? Like, and I have a feeling that this guy is probably like that. You know, on Veterans Day, he probably goes to every fucking restaurant in town and tries to get a free fucking meal. You know what I'm saying?
These civilians, like, don't want to serve me. This is absurd. Like,
yeah,
there is a line that if you cross and you're in that world, it's insufferable. Like, those type of humans, yes, we love you. We want to support and stand tall with you and honor your service. But there's a line that's like, you cross it, you're just wanting more attention. You're pushing the line too far. And that's what I saw with this. And it's unfortunate because no business deserves to be thrown under the bus like that when they're just trying to abide by what their foundation is.
And not only that, but I know a couple of the guys that work the door at Blind Pig, and guess what? They're fucking ex-veterans too, so he's kind of making it seem like, oh, they denied me because of what it said on my vest. No. I'm an Iraq war veteran, and it's like they didn't kick you out because you're a veteran.
It's a certain look they don't want as a part of their establishment. So, I mean, like, if we're trying to start a dive bar, right? And we want it to be on Polk Street, and we want it to be inviting to families, professional people, whether they're getting off of work or what have you in a professional setting. There's going to be certain rules and parameters we have to follow to uphold the standard. So it's just part of what you go through in life. If you go to a place that you know is a little bit more fancy than your taste, and you walk in there with ripped jeans, a backwards hat, you know, a fucking NBA jersey, you've got to know that you're probably going to be told, hey man, you can't come in here with that. You've got to go change, and we'll be happy to have you in. But people are just kind of, I don't know, they're absent-minded, and they want everyone to just look at them and join in their suffering and get any attention they can.
Yeah.
But that was, yeah, I saw that too online. I was like, come on, man. I mean, there are certain places that you can go into on Sixth Street with biker gear on. There's
pretty much everywhere but the Blind Pig.
Right. And that place is trying to bring not a higher class crowd, but just a nicer crowd to that area, which is in an old neighborhood, a rundown neighborhood. Like, I mean, you gotta abide by the rules. It's part of life. You can't go whine about it online. And that's what I hate about people these days on social media. They want to put their personal business out there. They want to, they want to gloat, or they want to spill their heart out just to gain some type of false attention on the other side of a screen. It's so It's so annoying, bro. That's why it gives me, as the kids say, the ick to put anything personal thoughts online. You know what I mean?
And every place, regardless of where it's at in town, on 6th, on Polk, whatever, everywhere is going to cater to different people. And there's a reason why the Blind Pig is so popular, is because it caters towards a certain type of people. Like, not everybody wants to go to a, you know, broken spoke where everybody's fucking smoking and the bathrooms are kind of dirty and small and, you know what I'm saying, and the crowd is kind of sketchy. You know, like, not everybody wants to go to a place.
There has to
like
be
that.
A place for everyone, right?
The Blind Pig doesn't have smoking. They do have a strict dress code, so they don't allow just anybody and everybody in. You know, the bathrooms are clean. It's a clean place. They've got great music, you know. So, yeah, naturally, more people are probably going to want to go there because not everybody wants to leave a bar smelling like a damn ashtray. So, that's why it's gaining popularity, is because it's not like the other places on 6th Street.
Right.
So.
Yeah. It is what it is.
They cannot stop fucking Henry right now.
Okay, so Baltimore Jesus just went Christ. Up 7-0. First quarter.
Fucking King Henry just ran all over their fucking asses.
Well, he's a transformer. I mean, the dude is unstoppable.
Yeah.
Derrick Henry is big, huge,
hard to tackle. It is what it is.
So here's something that we can kind of go nostalgic with, and we can go back into time. We've talked about the 2000s quarterbacks. Let's talk about 2000s establishments, bars that we used to like to go to back in the day here in town.
I mean, I didn't start going out until like the late 2000s, probably.
Yep. 2006, 2007.
No, I was probably more like 2008, 2009, 2010. That's when I started going out.
What's one place that
2005
just...
I graduated high school.
Right.
So I wasn't even old enough to get into an establishment until at least 2007.
But there were a handful that we could get into.
But I didn't.
Like, one that comes to my mind.
I was a goody two-shoe, so.
Midnight Rodeo. I mean, I remember they let 18-year-olds in there. I went in there in 07, 06, 07, 08.
I went a couple of times, but
that was like the place to be. It was the biggest bar in town, club, whatever you want to call it. That brings back memories.
I mostly just went for concerts. I think I saw Toadies play there a couple of times. That was about it.
Didn't like Breaking Benjamin and Evanescence.
No.
And those type of bands play there. Breaking Benjamin. Midnight Rodeo, that's the place that always stood out in my mind back then on places to go. That was the go-to. 100%.
Yeah, I only went there a couple of times. When I really started going out, which was, again, probably about 08, 09, my go-to spot was Whiskey River.
Oh, yeah. Or Pine
they
Shed.
They used to play the UFC fights all the time. They had a big screen up on the stage, and we would go to watch the UFC fights. They didn't charge a cover or nothing, and drinks were always cheap, and then they always had good music. They had Karaoke Joe was kind of like the in-house, you know, DJ, and he was cool. The music was always good. The course, again, they always had the fight. So that was my go-to spot until after about 2010.
Did you ever go to South Beach?
No, I don't.
That's
even know
torn
what,
down.
I don't even know what the fuck that is.
It was over there, like kind of near Coconuts, like across Paramount.
No,
tucked away near that Playa Lake. Mm-mm. Yeah, it was a rough place.
No,
it was a club.
Never even heard of it.
Yep. Do you remember where the old Golden Spread skate ring used to be?
I think
it was
so,
right across the street.
Yeah.
That's where it was. And I remember a club that allowed younger people to go in back when I was like 17, 18, Club Millennium. Did you ever hear about that one?
I remember hearing that name. Yeah, that name sounds familiar.
It was a place that I always wanted to go to but never went. But they had like a teen night, and it was in that shopping center where Abuelo's is.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it was. I just remember a lot of friends going, but I never went. Yeah, I wasn't a big... I didn't deviate from a lot of places. It was mainly just a handful. But there were some sketchy ones, and there still are some sketchy ones.
Yeah.
And we're making a point one of these days to all get together and go on like a dive bar crawl and go to all of the places we've never been that are really run down.
But I've been to, look.
I've been to every
rundown piece of shit bar in this town, literally.
Have you been to Fargo's?
Yes, I have. Oh, I've been God. To Fargo. I used to play in a pool league.
I've never been in there.
I used to play in a pool league. I played in a pool league for like 3 years when I was working at XL Energy. We all played in a pool league. The two people I played softball with, they actually own a bar on the boulevard called El Siete de Copas. It used to be called El Apache.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Right
yeah.
next to the tavern.
Yes.
Okay. So I played for that bar. I played for their pool team.
Oh, nice.
And we used to go to all the bars.
Did you have pool in town. League shirts?
No, we didn't have any shirts. But we used to go to all these bars
and we played
everybody. We played Fargo's, we played Rumors,
Slims,
we played what's that bar over there off of 10th and Arthur. It starts with the S, but I can't remember what the name of it was. We played them. We played all the Mexican bars on the boulevard. I've been to every single one of them. It doesn't
so y'all
matter.
Would literally travel
Red Rocks
like week by week.
That's probably the most sketchiest bar I've ever been.
Never
in
heard anywhere, of that one
in Amarillo. Red Rocks Saloon. It's off of Northeast 3rd and Ross.
Is it still in business?
I think it's torn down now, but I don't know. It's over by the railroad tracks off of Northeast 3rd and Ross. So
would y'all go like once a week? To different places?
Yeah, it was like every Thursday.
Different bars to play?
It was every Thursday night.
That's kind of cool, though.
Every Thursday night, we would play pool.
You get to experience different vibes, different crowds, and places you've never been before.
Yeah. Alazanas, I've been there. Again, bro, you name it, I've been there.
Stumpy's?
No, I don't think I've been there. But I've been
Whiskers,
to the,
which
went,
is now House Bar.
I went to the Dragon, whatever, that's kind of by Stumpy's. It's over there across the street from Youngblood's Cafe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Been in that one.
Oh, wow.
It was called Dragon something. I don't know what it's called now. I don't even know if it's even still open. But it was across the street from Youngblood's Cafe.
No dogs allowed.
Been there.
Yeah. Which back in the day, let me just say.
Been there.
That
I've
place,
been everywhere.
That place had the best... It used to be called Paradise 2, and it was a Tex-Mex Mexican food restaurant, and it was the most popular in town. I remember going there growing up.
Yep. Never ate there.
It was good. It was a really good place. And there's a few places I've never been before.
Like I said, you name it, I've been there. I promise.
And I don't have any desire.
I promise
you
have been there.
I don't anymore, but it would be funny if we went into a few just to say we've been there. Hell, who knows? Maybe we'll do a podcast from one of those places. You know,
I mean, I can take you to some places if you really want, but you're going to be scared.
Be real scared, huh? The Boulevard, San Jacinto area.
Every
like,
single bar on the Boulevard, I guarantee you I've been in.
You've even been to the ones down like East Boulevard.
Mm-hmm. Gamboa's.
Yeah.
My Club, Alacran. I've been in all of them.
Okay, what's a bar that you've been in Amarillo that you thought was going to be super sketchy, super weird, but you ended up having a great time?
But wasn't that bad?
Yeah.
That one on 10th and Arthur wasn't that bad. What is the name of that place? I got to try to look it up right quick.
10th and Arthur. Huh. I don't know.
It's across the street from Tejano Wild West.
Oh, okay, okay, okay.
It starts with the S, but I can't think of the damn
name. I can see it in my mind. I've passed it a ton of times.
Let me see if I can find it on Google Maps. Hold on just a second.
I will say one that I walked into and had a good time. It used to be called Whiskers, but now it's called House Bar. And I had no idea what I was doing. Went in there with a few friends, and it was a good time.
Ship's Lounge.
Ship's Lounge. Okay, I've heard of that before.
Yeah, it's off of Cleveland and 10th. It's across the street from Tejano Wild West. And there used to be another bar that also those same two people owned. It was called Tejano Rose.
I think I've heard of that one.
But now I think it's like a taco place or something like that now. It's like a restaurant now. It's not a bar anymore. It's like a Mexican restaurant now. But behind that is Ship's Lounge. And that was the place that I was kind of like, I don't know if I want to go in here. But we went in. We played pool. We had a good time. We won. And it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. But Ship's Lounge.
Shout out. I wonder if it's still around. Should be, right? According if you can find it on Google, it should be.
According to Google Maps, it is. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I haven't been in there in years. At least 15 years.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
We don't go anywhere anymore. If we do, it's to like Hummers or.
And I remember my mom, because I was living with my parents at the time, and my mom hated the fact that I was going to all these Mexican bars.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, my mom's grew up here in Amarillo, and she said that she remembered when she was younger, she would go to places like the Tavern and places like that.
Paramount Club.
They were sketchy back then, so she was like, I can't believe you're going there. I don't want you going there. And I'm like, Mom, I'm playing in this pool league. I'm like, I'm trying to win some money, you know? But she let me.
Do you remember Jaguars?
Yeah.
So that place used to be a club in the 80s.
SRO
that I heard everyone went to. Mm-hmm. And I heard MTV went there a few times and everything.
Yeah, it was like a dance club, yeah.
That's one that we missed out on. Because our love for the 80s, could you imagine?
Yeah.
Like I watched Hot Tub Time Machine a couple days ago. And I was just like, man. It would be awesome to go back to the 80s and go to a club like that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. One that I do miss is Hoots, which I don't even know if it's around anymore.
I think they sold it to somebody. And I think they're maybe trying to like rebrand or something like that. But I mean, it's still, as far as I know, I think it's still open. I think it's just under new ownership and
yeah.
They've got, they still post on their Facebook. Matter of fact, Gorilla Zoe is going to be performing there on Saturday, February 7th. Let's fucking go.
The best concert that I've ever seen there was the Toadies, but we used to go all the time to watch the cassettes. Speaking of 80s. Think about all the good times we had in there watching the cassettes.
Yeah, Hoots was a pretty cool spot. You know, it's just whenever you have, you know, certain incidents happen at your establishment, it kind of makes people not want to go, you know, and I think like that's what happened with MJ Saloon, and that's why it's closed now, is because they had too many incidents there.
Oh, is it officially closed now?
Yeah, it's been closed now, and
I feel like any strip mall bar, it never ends good.
No, and you know, then they try to change it up by trying to do a more stricter dress code, but you know, you're not gonna. You're not going to be able to fix that
once
stuff
let the
you should have been doing it like that from the jump, but you weren't, and you pretty much ruined your establishment.
Well, you let the toothpaste out of the tube. You can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. That's kind of the analogy I always use for things that just you let it go haywire early and there's nothing you can do afterwards, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, you know, my lifelong dream since I was a teenager was to own like a sports bar, like a bar and grill. And you can take a look around my man cave right here. I've always loved entertaining people at my old house. You remember the setup there?
Yeah.
Need I say more? But it was always cool to have people come over and entertain. And that was one thing I always wanted to do. And I've just always thought about, you know, where it would be, what kind of food we would serve. Probably have Adrian in the kitchen, you know. Just have some like small food choices. Like what would be some good bar food? Like if you had to build a menu for a dive bar menu, it'd be like appetizer, like hands-on type stuff. Wings.
And here's my thing is like, you can't have a bar in a restaurant. Like if you're going to do like a sports bar, you gotta keep it more restaurant-like.
Or keep it more bar-like.
You can't do both.
I would. My mind frame
you,
is
if
like,
you try to do both, it's not gonna last.
Mine is like keep it more bar, but have options for like small, like appetizer type foods. You know, when you get hungry late at night, you have those options, kind of like the Mud Rack, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And see, and the Mud Rack is a bar. It's. Mm-hmm. It's a straight up bar.
It's
a bar that just so happens to have good food, and it's on the side of town where you're gonna have nothing but regulars, and that's what's keeping that bar open is all those regulars.
I always thought about like it being called Local Legends and having it decked out in a lot of Panhandle athlete memorabilia everywhere. And being a hub where people could come and watch any game they wanted. You wouldn't show up, you know, late at night and watch an infomercial like a lot of these places. It would be in tune with what's going on. Sporting events year-round, advertised, marketed. I don't know. A little hole in the wall. Polk Street would be cool. I don't think there's anything like that down there, right?
A sports bar?
Like sports bar. I mean, there's that Moondoggies pizza, which that wasn't really a sports bar.
I miss Moondoggies. Moondoggies
it was pretty
was
good.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah,
what's one... That's the thing we're going to talk about next, is what's one place you'd like to bring back that's gone. But yeah, right now there's nothing down there as far as like sports bar, I don't think.
On Polk Street? No.
No. Like that could cater to families, not really families, but a more grown-up crowd. But yeah, as far as like places that have went away that we wish came back, and as of recent, the House Divided is going under. That's closing down.
Well, they say they're rebranding. I mean, I don't know if they're...
That was kind of a bummer. We liked going there a few times. I mean, it was cool. But as far as like places that have went away...
Yeah, Moondoggies I miss the most, man. Like, cause I used to go there and just sit by myself at the bar and have pizza and drink beer and watch whatever they had on the TV. I didn't care what it was, even if it was just drive. Like their pizza was just that good, you know. Service was always good. The owner was cool.
Okay, I've got a list here.
But COVID just fucking sucked.
Do you remember Bennigan's?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's one. The Santa Fe restaurant.
Never heard of it.
That place was good. Taco Cabana. You remember when we had a Taco Cabana?
Yeah.
It was more fast food.
Right there off of I-40 and Grand.
But we cannot forget, bro, and we're stupid because we forgot Ruby Tequila's.
No, I could care
it's
less
not
about
so
Ruby
much
Tequila's.
About the food. It was about... It was a fun place to go.
They had one good month to go there.
It was a hub.
That was it.
It was a hub. You go happy hour. You go
March Madness. That was the
March
only good
Madness
time to go
was
there.
Great. Leal's, Country Pride. Did you ever go out to Country Pride? It was out there on South Washington. Gradsky's. Do you remember grad
skis?
Yeah,
I remember grad skis. That was a long, long time ago.
TGIF Fridays. Remember TGIF Fridays?
It wasn't good. Oh my God, they still can't stop them.
There's a lot of good places that have just, they just didn't survive, or they were here for a long time. Montana Mike's that closed down. But yeah, Ruby Tequila's to me, it was just, you knew what you were going to get. It was consistent Tex-Mex. They had pretty good drink specials. And they usually...
I didn't care for Ruby Tequila's.
They usually had games on. Like, it was
a... There's a reason why it closed down. I liked it. Shit.
I'll give it up to Georgia Street Tap House. They kind of took it over and kind of still have a little bit of that vibe. They have a band that comes, live music every once in a while. They have a nice patio. I mean, they've done a pretty good job with that place, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
It's not bad. All right, moving on to our final topic of the podcast. We're going to go into our movie of the week segment. Let's talk about a movie we've seen recently that deserves a watch. I know you saw one today. Are you going to choose that one?
I might have a couple.
And it could even be a TV show.
I might have a couple of movies to...
All right, let's hear them.
To suggest.
Because Lord knows I need to expand my movie catalog. Because you know I'm not a film guy, so...
Well, the first movie I'd recommend is one that I watched actually last night. I'll get into the movie I watched later today, but... saw a movie last night on a Prime called Roof Man. It's got Channing Tatum in it. Came out this year. Really interesting movie. I really liked it a lot. It's actually based on a true story. The movie is actually about a real life spree robber out of Charlotte, North Carolina, by the name of Jeffrey Manchester. Basically, this dude committed a spree of robberies, and he ended up going to prison. And shortly after going to prison, he actually escaped from prison. And while he was out on the run, he actually was living. He broke into a Toys R Us store and was actually living there for like 6 months, unbeknownst to the employees of the store.
Oh, wow.
So, and he even fell in love with one of the employees and was going on dates with her and shit. And she had no idea that he was living in the fucking Toys R Us.
That's crazy. That
she worked at. And this was all based on a true story.
Really?
Eventually, he gets caught. And, of course, he goes back to prison. He ends up escaping a couple more times. And then after, like, the third time that they finally bring him back to prison, he finally gives up and is like, I have no more intentions on escaping anymore. And I think he's, like, eligible for parole in, like, 2036 or some shit like that. So, but, yeah, I didn't expect it to be good. I'm not really a big Channing Tatum fan, but he's actually pretty good in the movie. It also has Kirsten Dunst in there. What's that one guy's name? He's a little dwarf that's in Game of Thrones. What's his name? He's in it.
I know who you're talking about, but I don't know his name.
Yeah, I can't remember.
He's a good actor.
But yeah, it's a really good movie. It was surprising. It was actually a movie that I didn't, you know, play on my phone the whole fucking time it was playing. So
right,
it was
right.
It was a good movie. Well, it's called Roof Man, and it is on Amazon Prime right now. So if you haven't seen it, go check it out.
You're gonna be proud of me because the other night I did watch a movie. And it's the new Leonardo DiCaprio movie that's on HBO Max.
Mm-hmm.
One Battle After Another. Have you seen it?
No.
It's really good.
Mm-hmm.
It's about 2.5 hours. It's about the French 75. Like, I don't know if that's a fictional organization or if it's like parallels to a real organization that existed, but they're kind of in the business of... committing crimes for the greater good of the poor or immigrants of the country. It's really interesting. I love the plot. I love the story behind it.
I've seen a lot of trailers for it, and I've seen it being highlighted there on HBO Max. I just haven't had the want to watch it, mainly because I'm not a big fan of the director, Paul Thomas Anderson. I'm not that into a lot of his movies.
It's a drama.
I might try and give it a shot, but
with political, social undertones, that's what you're going to get when you watch it. But I like the storyline. I would give it a 7.3 out of 10. So it's not amazing, but it's not bad. You know, it's a good watch. I mean, if you like DiCaprio, it's not a war movie. There's a lot of action, but it's not really an action movie. Heavy dialogue. It does grab your attention, though. There's a lot of power struggles, cycles of resistance, and they're at the beginning of the movie. They're at the border, and they're trying to free a bunch of migrants that have been detained. So, like, it's kind of like vigilante justice, in a sense, that he's a part of. And I can't remember the other actress's name. But DiCaprio, how do you feel about him as an actor?
He's kind of hit or miss on his movies. I mean, most of the ones he does are pretty good. You know, I loved him in Django, loved him in Once Upon a Time in the West, or Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. The Revenant was really good.
I liked him in this movie.
It just kind of depends. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of his. I mean,
there's a father-daughter scenario that kind of grows throughout the movie. That's a big part of it. The main actress is Regina Hall, and Tiana Taylor. Both of those have significant roles in the movie, but I saw it on social media. I've seen some reels, TikToks, or whatnot, clips of the movie. So I thought, well, it should be good. It might be good. So we gave it a watch. But if I were you, I'd give it a watch. That'd be my movie of the week.
I might check it out, but probably not.
If any of that interests you, I mean, it's a Paul Thomas Anderson, like you said. I don't know what type of movies does he usually direct.
Well, he's most well known for doing Boogie Nights. Mm-hmm. That was like his first movie that really kind of put him on the map. Was the movie Boogie Nights?
Sean Penn's in this movie too. Yeah. You're a Sean Penn guy.
Not really. But yeah, Paul Thomas Anderson, he does a lot of indie movies. I mean, he does a lot of, and like I said, I'm not big on his stuff. I'm really not. So I'm just not a big fan of his. I will say I love There Will Be Blood. That would probably be the one movie that he's done that I can truly say is a phenomenal film. He did direct that.
But you are a James Cameron fan, right?
I do like James Cameron, yes. Who doesn't? I mean, all of his movies have made billions.
I mean, you watched a 3.5-hour movie today, right?
Yeah, I watched the new Avatar. I did.
What were your initial thoughts?
I mean, it's a good continuation of the other two films. So, I mean, if you're a fan of the other two films, you're going to be a fan of this one. I mean, it's a good continuation. I saw it in 3D. I'm not that big of a fan of the whole 3D thing. Kind of makes you dizzy and
yeah,
kind of fucks with your eyes a little bit.
I've never seen a movie in 3D. Is it really worth it?
Not really. Kind of fucks with your eyes a little bit. Like I said, kind of makes you a little dizzy. So my sister got nauseous and actually had to close her eyes for a while because she felt like she was going to vomit. So
that's probably what would happen to me.
But yeah, and it wouldn't be so bad if the movie was under 2 hours. But when the movie's 3 hours and 15 minutes long, it's kind of hard to watch it in 3D when it's that long of a runtime. So
yeah, I would imagine you'd leave the theater just tired. Your eyes constantly
I did.
Moving and
I did leave the theater tired. Yeah. So, yeah. But yeah, it was a good movie. The effects were, of course, amazing as well, just like the other two films. It's got a great story, good acting.
You think it was better than the last?
I think it was better than the second one.
And this is the third installment?
Yeah, I think there's at least supposed to be one more. I've heard that there's going to be two. So I don't
know. How long did it take them to shoot that movie? Like for each one? Isn't it like a few years, right?
Yeah, more than likely. I know the first movie took them a while because, you know, at the time the technology wasn't like it was now. You know, because everything is computer animated. I mean, everything is motion capture. So the whole movie is pretty much CGI and motion capture. So I know the first one took quite some time. I want to say the first one took like almost 10 years for them to make.
Devil Wears Prada 2 is coming out this year.
Yay, I don't give a fuck.
A new Top Gun's coming out, Mortal Kombat 2, Toy Story 5. Mercy is a new sci-fi thriller coming out starring Chris Pratt and Rebecca Ferguson. I've seen clips of that online. A new Avengers. You're not an Avengers person, are you?
I love the Avengers.
Doomsday. So it's going to be a huge MCU ensemble movie. You excited about that one?
Which one?
Avengers Doomsday. Doomsday?
Yeah.
Dune Part 3. Don't is coming
care.
Out.
Don't care.
Jumanji 3.
Lame.
Violent Night 2.
Yeah, that'll be good. I'll watch that.
Yeah. Angry Birds Movie 3. There's a lot of good ones out this year. Toy Story 5. I'm interested to see that one. I didn't know they were in development of a new Toy Story movie. Mortal Kombat 2 might be pretty good. I don't know if it'll be better than the original ones, right? Were you a fan of the original Mortal Kombat?
The original first one, yeah. The sequel, no. The sequel was terrible.
Yeah. Would you watch a Power Rangers movie if they made a modern one?
I have watched a Power Rangers
movie. If they made a modern one.
They did make a modern one.
How long ago?
It came out in 2018. 2019?
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Did it suck?
I thought it was okay. I mean, it wasn't great, but yeah. Bryan Cranston played fucking
Zordon. Did it live up to your expectations?
Elizabeth Banks played fucking Rita.
Is that a series that you think they should continue, well, a franchise?
They didn't continue it because nobody went and saw the movie.
Right.
So, I mean,
there's no new Power Ranger.
The movie was a financial failure. So, they planned on making it like a trilogy, but since the first movie didn't make good money, they pretty much canceled.
Just scrapped it.
Pretty much scrapped the sequels and, you know, so I didn't think it was terrible, but I mean, they didn't market the movie very well. A lot of the actors that they used were unknown at the time. But yeah, I mean, I thought it was a decent movie. It wasn't terrible. It wasn't great either, though, so.
Okay, so what's your underrated movie of the week? One that you've maybe seen within the last few weeks that is kind of not real well known, but
Roofman.
That one. That yeah. one's gonna have to be your movie of the week and your underrated movie of the week. I'll have to see that one. I mean, yeah. I've got another week off of work, so
yeah, it's a good movie. It's funny, and the fact that it's based on a true story, and they pretty much stayed true to his story, because I read up on this guy, and yeah, everything that's in the news is in this movie. So it's like
they
stayed true to the source. So everything that you see in the movie actually happened in real life. So yeah, I think they did a good job with it, and it was a good movie. So it's definitely worth a watch, considering it's free on Prime right now.
And the last remaining episodes dropped of Stranger Things. There's still the finale that's going to drop next week.
I think January 5th is when it's going to drop.
January 5th.
Yeah, because they've been doing a whole WWE Stranger Things thing for January 5th. So I'm pretty sure the finale will be on January 5th.
Will it be 2 hours long? Or
I'm assuming so.
Yeah. We watched the new installments a few nights ago. A little underwhelming at times. Mm-hmm. Some shocking moments. I don't know if we want to spoil anything, but
I don't give a fuck. I mean,
if
you're a true fan,
some then, woke things going on.
All of you should have seen all of the last three episodes. If you're a true fan, you would have binge watched that shit. It's only 3 hours to fucking binge watch it.
Yeah,
so,
we binge watched it. I love Stranger Things. It's where would you put it as far as like your favorite like sci-fi series or series in general? You think it's up there? You think it's a tier one for you, tier two, or tier three?
It would probably be in my top 10 if I were to do a top 10 of my all time favorite series. It would definitely be in the top 10.
I just hope they don't kill 11, which that's kind of like what they're foreshadowing right now. But hopefully that doesn't happen.
See. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised.
That would suck. To end it that way.
Everything kind of up to this point has been a little bit predictable.
Just don't end it like, Game of Thrones, right?
I don't think anybody can end a series that bad, but you never know.
Yeah. I hope not. I love that show, and I'll binge it just to rewatch it anytime. It's so cool. It's one of the best ones I've ever, sci-fi shows I've ever watched, which I'm not a huge TV guy anyway, but that does it for episode 162. Hopefully we'll get one more in before we go back to work. Or do you work next week?
Yeah, I work next week. I'll be off on New Year's Day, but I'll work every other day. So
okay, well, we'll get together soon and we'll bring you another episode as soon as we can. Peace. Yeah.